Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 57. Hope you're having a good New Year's beginning here of 2006. Took about a week off there, so just again let the holiday time get the best of me there. But been really busy. We've had a lot of visitors to the site. We have over 200,000 visitors just since the first of the month. These first 9 days here. Mostly because of our 100 Most Annoying Things of the Year feature that we have every year, and pretty popular there. And thanks for all the great emails that we've got about that. In fact, I'm going to read some of the funny hate mail that we got about that in a little bit as well. And one of the fun things this week is I got to be on the radio. There's a 570 News in Ontario, Canada. It's a guy, the Gary Doyle's show. And this Friday I was on for about 10 minutes to talk about the annoying list, and it was kind of fun, and I thought I'd play that for you here if you didn't have a chance to listen to it, so go ahead and do that right now.
What's your website? Sounds a little promoting it, but you know what? There's some great stuff at RetroCrush.com. There's forums, there's podcasting, there's some... very interesting writing. It's a lot of fun. I've been to the website a number of times. This is the first time we've actually contacted anybody at Retro Crush, though. And Robert Berry's kind enough to join us now to talk about a list he put together called the 100 Most Annoying Things of 2005. And I got to be honest with you, after living through 2005, I'm baffled how you managed to narrow it down to 100.
Yes, it was difficult for sure. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. And you?
Great. Just waking up here on the west coast of California.
Yeah, and the sunshine and a warm. Yeah, we know. And it's snowing and cold in Canada, so.
Cabana Boys picking my toenails clean, you know, the life. Yeah.
Okay, that's too much information. Well, I don't want to start with the number one thing. For, you know, because I want to kind of build up to that one, but
sure.
One of the ones that I got a real kick out of was your number 100, Wikipedia. Why would you pick an online encyclopedia as annoying?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff it's done for the humor's sake and looking back at how they affected the year. And Wikipedia, this online encyclopedia, which is incredibly extensive, one of its inherent flaws is that anybody could write an entry for it. So if you can imagine if Encyclopedia Britannica put a website up and just said, hey, general public, go ahead and write the entries for us, you can imagine there's going to be some fun little inaccuracies mixed in there. And there's a pretty high-profile incident of a writer, I believe, based on the East Coast of America who was credited with shooting John F. Kennedy and some other things that were just completely fabricated, and he highlighted that in his column. And it just, you know, there's been incidents of celebrities adding to their own entries in the encyclopedia, and so it's, you know, just basically poking fun at the fact that it may be useful, it's certainly subject to a lot of error as well.
So you wouldn't want to be writing your thesis based on anything you picked out of Wikipedia.
Well, you certainly want to be double-checking your sources. I mean, just, you know, I think a lot of people feel that because it's on the Internet, it's true. And seeing it on a Wikipedia article, you know, I wonder in this age of people writing college papers and high school papers, if you're citing Wikipedia as a source.
Good luck with that.
Yes, exactly.
You're going to be called by your professor. Now, also on your list is and this is a story that kind of made inroads in Canada, Robert, but wasn't really a huge news story here, is Prussian Blue. Tell me about these cute little blondes.
Well, you know, these, if you can imagine the Olsen twins as Nazi white supremacist pop singers, I think you'd have a pretty good example of what Prussian Blue's all about. They have a website that's PrussianBlue.com, I believe, and it's amazing and sad because you could tell that there's these two little girls that have thinly veiled racist songs, and you just wonder how much of this was completely their own idea, and apparently they've got some parents or people behind them that are just crafting them into being this...
filling their head with a bunch of nonsense.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's, you kind of wonder about that. That's one of the things that's on our list there. Not incredibly fun to talk about right now, but
no,
it's
no,
definitely
it's on out there. But you know, and but that's what I liked about your list, because it was it made me really, you know, ponder some of these things. And some of them, I got to admit, I thought were easy, because I think it's easy to add Anna Nicole Smith to anybody's annoying things list.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, you know, whenever we've been doing this list since 2000, where we kind of just look back at the 100 most annoying things of the year, and you know, the order that they're ranked in really isn't so important as just getting them all included. And without a doubt, you get people saying, how come you didn't include this? How come you didn't include this item or whatever? But, you know, definitely, it's just kind of a fun snapshot of the year's news and pop culture as a whole, and maybe some of the more obscure little weird things that you might forget about in a couple years. So it's kind of fun to just archive these things.
But what, you didn't like the movie Flight Plan?
No, I really didn't. I thought it was, a woman, Jodie Foster, loses her kid on a flight, and the whole movie is her looking for her kid. And so, I mean, if you really enjoyed, you know, it's basically like, is she in this cabinet here? Nope, she's not there. Is she under the seat? No. Is she in my barf bag? No, she's not there.
And where's Waldo?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it doesn't prove to be a very fun movie-going experience there, for sure. Especially when most parents would be pretty happy with not having their kids around for a transcontinental flight there. So,
if they're ever that quiet on a flight, I'd have been happy.
Yes.
We're talking with Robert Berry from RetroCrush.com. He's put out this list, 100 Most Annoying Things of 2005. American Idol is on your list, and I get a feeling that this thing is just going to get bigger.
Yeah, well, you know, American Idol...
It's a bad feeling, but it's a feeling.
Yeah, you know, it's... This is one of the most popular shows around, and it's just amazing how much is crammed down our throat. I mean, you've got it could be like the fifth episode of American Idol, and somebody gets eliminated, and it's front page news on CNN's website, as if, you know, it's so funny. I mean, all through the year, and one thing I really didn't put on my list that I think about now that I should have is the fact that there's so much non-news. The entertainment, you know, the latest episode of Desperate Housewives, the twist in that, or somebody died on the episode of Lost, or American Idol contestant gets voted off, or Survivor winner, and it's front page news on CNN.com right next to stuff about hundreds of people getting killed in Iraq or whatnot. It's just amazing how we elevate that stuff to be as important as real news.
Okay, now also on that, Nick and Jessica. Now, I know they're not a couple anymore, but that TV show, I think I watched it once, and it had to be one of the dumbest things. It made them both look extremely irrelevant, I thought.
They are extremely irrelevant, and that's the reason why they've been so annoying, is the fact that you could go to the supermarket here, and no less than 10 magazines or newspapers will have both of their faces on it. You know, they're basically... It's so funny, for like the last 3 years, they're basically predicting that they're going to split up and forcing them to split up. And once they do, then you see all these shocked headlines like, oh my God, you know, Nick, she's leaving him. You know, it's like they have to have it one way or another. But it's just, again, just you wonder what kind of people are that interested in Nick and Jessica.
There you
I mean,
go.
You've got somebody who could barely sing or act, a pretty boy husband, and we have such a culture that elevates people for being famous just... Famous for being famous, like someone like Paris Hilton or Nicole Richie, who are also on our list. It's just, what is it about these people? I mean, some of those people in the 70s were relegated to just being game show host contestants and things like that, and to see them just being put on a pedestal as our celebrity of celebrities just blows my mind. You know, there's nothing that they offer other than smiling and getting in trouble, and you wonder... Who decided to put them in the papers and give them this attention in the first place?
Well, who decided that Michael Jackson was going to be the big train wreck of last year? Look at how much attention that got.
For sure. But now, okay, but at least let's compare Michael to Paris Hilton. You got Michael as an incredibly talented, probably one of the most talented pop singers of all time. You saw him grow up. You saw him evolve and change his gender and ethnic background through surgeries and alien rituals or whatnot, and it's just this giant train wreck, and it's just, there's something just so unreal and crazy about him, just as news as when Howard Hughes was going crazy in his time, you know, saving jars of his own urine and never trimming his nails and letting his hair grow out super long and giant beards. I think we're fascinated with watching celebrities go to crap. But when you've got people like I said, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, who, why were they even celebrities in the first place, is just such a mystery. You know, we're so desperate to idolize people that we just pick people that just maybe are just kind of rich and somewhat pretty because, or you know, just the fact that they were in some homemade porno videotape that suddenly we need to obsess on them, you know.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to get closer to the top of the list here before we're out of time. Robert Berry's our guest from RetroCrush.com, and he's published his 100 Most Annoying Things of 2005. And what do I have highlighted but Larry the Cable Guy? This
is a guy, you know, suddenly in the last couple years, we have this, you know, blue-collar comedy, redneck comedy, and Jeff Foxworthy kind of started this whole thing. And he's a very talented and successful guy, but there's this whole background of other characters that have sort of glommed onto that genre, and Larry the Cable Guy is probably the most successful and annoying as well. What's funny is that, you know, this is a guy that's not even from the South, apparently. His name's not even Larry, but he can put on this act that he's this super, I'm one of you guys redneck characters, and people just lap it up. And, you know, I mean, comedians certainly have always created characters that were somewhat fictional, but when he gets mad and starts to become the voice of the South and speaking up for people, when he's not, you know, it's like me putting on blackface and then going to NAACP rallies and fighting for black rights. You know, there's a bit of disingenuousness to that.
You wouldn't do it.
No. Well, maybe I would. That'd be kind of funny, actually. But
you would make your own list, then, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Or the obituary column, one of the two. Yeah.
Either way, you'll become irrelevant. Number two on your list, I want to jump right to two. Tom Cruise, thank you. Thank you for putting that high on the list.
That's a surprising one, because this is a guy who, you know, is probably as big of a star as you can get. I mean, guys really enjoyed watching his action movies. Girls would have their posters up of him, still do. But just with his connection with the Scientology wackiness and just him being a really outspoken maniac on so many issues and just some of the weird mysteriousness of him and his relationship with Katie. And it seemed like every day you had to watch something new about these people. And sometimes it was intriguing, but, you know, just anybody else that jumps up and down on Oprah's couch and screams, you know, that would destroy them, but somehow that just made him more and more endearing to certain people, and I just really hard to watch and enjoy this guy sometimes.
Well, on his own SaveKatie.com website, which I thought was the funniest thing about the whole thing, but maybe
it's a shame that Scientology is such a, I mean, there's some truly, really disturbing things about that so-called religion, and that there's so much money behind it, and they're so legally powerful that, you know, when people try to expose some of these things in there by publishing some of the texts and things about that, they just get sued into oblivion and can't speak up against it. So, and the fact that we also had Scientology on our list. That, I mean, this is a religion that you have to buy your way up into by earning, paying your way to get tested and learn new truths, so you can find out that a space demon enslaved people in a volcano off of Hawaii, and that's the source of all of our problems today. You know, it's kind of what you got.
All right, let's get to it. The number one most annoying thing of 2005.
Well, we'd be remiss to not say hurricanes and certainly the bad weather all over the place. I wrote that they proved to be a bit inconvenient this year, to say the least, and hopefully next year's deadly locust plagues and rivers of blood will help us put it all behind us once and for all. But, you guys don't have too many hurricane problems up there in Canada, do you?
No, we didn't have many hurricanes. We had some backlash, though, or backwash.
Like Wolverine attacks and stuff like that, huh?
It hasn't happened yet, no. We have had violence at hockey games, though.
That's true.
Hard to believe, isn't it? Listen, I want to thank you for spending some time with us. Great list. A lot of fun, and there's some great reading at RetroCrush.com. Robert Berry, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, that was kind of fun there. I always feel like I come across like a dick on those radio shows, though. I don't know. It's one thing to I like being on the radio when there's more freeform things to talk about, but when it's like you wrote a funny article, come on this radio show and talk about it. It always, you know, it's funny when you read it, but then when you're talking about something that you wrote, I know. I just go off on Scientology and show ignorance about Canada there. So hopefully our Canadian podcast friends will still continue listening to this wonderful show here today. So I think that's a good time to bring up. Yes, it's been a while. It's time for Retro Crush email. It's lots of fun to read hate mail from people who disagree with me. Blah, blah, blah. Da, da, da. Sorry, it's been a while since I've sung the Retro Crush mailbag song. But, I got a lot of email about our 100 Most Annoying Things of the Year feature. And in fact, at one point, I thought it was funny to break it down to show you what it was what kind of like. I think, here, let me just pull up my handy statistics here. At one point, as of January 4th, I had 58 different responses, and the breakdown was 41 of them were male and 17 of them were female, and I had 54 positive responses and 4 negative responses. So that's a pretty good rate. You know, they say that one email might represent so many hundred or so many thousand people, so you know, you can't argue with four out of 58 people liked it. But I thought I'd read some of the negative responses to you that were kind of funny here. First response was, Robert, you should get out more. There's more to this great world than California. You're running a website with a 60s attitude in the 21st century. Those ideas failed then. Let's don't repeat them. Wow, that's from Jay. That's a pretty wise words there. But the next one we have here says, your feature inspires me to believe that anyone can be published in a local newspaper. Thank you for keeping that dream alive. And that's referring to the Sacramento News and Review did a two-page thing about our list there in the feature there. This was a great one, though. This is probably... I'll save the best one for last. The next one here says... you are retarded. Ashley Simpson is gorgeous and talented. Trust me, I should know. You're just mad because you're probably nasty and ugly, and you're not famous, and most likely not talented. I like that. Like, she's certain I'm not famous, but most likely not talented. No one cares what you have to say, so you should just keep it to yourself and never put it online again. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that. But this one's just the best. Check this out. It says, I just read your list of the 100 most annoying things in 2005. You know, insipid's a great word, and if you were a great writer, you would have only used it once. I fear you have a cheap thesaurus that is hard to navigate, and you are too lazy to find words similar in meaning. So that's always a real brutal way to attack a writer. You know, you pull out the whole thesaurus bit there. Oh, my AOL instant message is on there. Didn't want to trick you guys out there to think you just got an instant message. But let me close out here so we don't hear that sound effect anymore. But he says, in addition, your list should include the 101 most annoying things, since the list itself ranks among the eluded. That's a common one I get with hate mail, like, you know, you should put yourself on top of your annoying list. Then he gives you the clever, you, sir, are an idiot. Completely void of anything original or funny. I never laughed once, I mean never, while reading your well-below-average attempt at humor. It sucked royally, and it's painfully obvious you slapped this list together at the last moment for reasons which you are already aware, since you did slap it together at the last moment. I'm offended to have wasted my time on your crap. If you want a good idea of what you're attempting to be, check out ruthlessreviews.com. Then take a 3 to 5 year hiatus while you get better at being funny and try again. Until then, continue to suck and commit inexcusable errors in grammar and spelling as you have done forthrightly in your insipid list. Ideally, however, you will spare the rest of us your inane drivel by killing yourself. Up yours, Ross. Wow. Then he writes, P.S., please don't try to make me feel stupid by pointing out spelling or grammatical errors in this message. Remember, you are the purported professional, not me. And then he writes, P.P.S. Boy, he's really got a bone to pick here. Feel free to reply at any time. I'll be happy to prove you're unable to match wits with at least 60% of the population. What, women? No, just kidding. Now go watch MTV so you can learn some new cliches. Well, wow, Ross, that was pretty brutal. What's kind of funny is, you know, I had such a worthless feature, yet, you know, he wrote me this five-paragraph essay, which basically just told me I sucked in, like, 80 different ways without giving anything specific other than I used the word insipid more than once. So it's funny. I replied to him and told him that, you know, hey, I completely agree with you, and I plan on killing myself shortly. But what was funny is, as much as I would get this hate mail, three different women sent me, like, these totally cool emails here. Barbara says, that was brilliant. I want to have your children. Wow. Thanks, Barbara. You can have them this weekend if you like. I'd like to go out to the movies without them being around here. This other woman writes, I loved that list. You're fucking incredible. Marry me. Okay, thanks. Bye. From your biggest fan ever. That's true. She sent me her picture. She's like 350 pounds. Jennifer writes, someone just sent your 100 most annoying things of 2005 list. Brilliant. Who are you? Let's be friends, but in a non-creepy way. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm only looking for creepy friends at the moment, so sorry to let you down there, Jennifer. Like I said, I always love getting voicemails on the Retro Crush hotline. You can dial it. It's based in Sacramento, California here. And just dial 916-231-9480. And here's a voicemail that I got that was pretty insightful, I thought.
Hey, Robert. This is Lyndon LaRouche. I just wanted to call and tell you how much I enjoy the podcast and also wanted to critique your 100 most annoying things of the year 2005, especially the inclusion of one Larry the Cable Guy somewhere near the top 20. I'm a little goofy here, but I'm also very serious. You got to check out his book, Get Her Done, a literary masterpiece. I think that Larry is pulling a gag on his fans because the book is very postmodern. It's not just a collection of his bits, although there's plenty of that, but there's a lot of filler and a lot of unusual political commentary, and I'm dead serious. Chapter 6 is a typographical error. It's simply the letters TK, which is a Brinting thing for to come, meaning the chapter ain't there, dude. Anyway, I like the comment somebody put in Rolling Stone a couple of weeks ago about Sarah Silverman, that she is Larry the Cable Guy for the liberal arts set. And I think that Larry the Cable Guy is probably Sarah Silverman for the NASCAR set. Not exactly the most sophisticated guy on the planet, but easily the funniest member of the blue-collar comedy bunch. Anyway, it's late here, and I got to get back to cell block G, so don't forget to vote Lyndon LaRouche for president in 2008, and I'll see you on the flippity-flop.
Wow, it's kind of wild to get a voicemail from Lyndon LaRouche, but, you know, hey, always happy to get him there. Hey, well, next I wanted to read play a funny sound clip. There's a news station in Florida called Local 6. They're in Central Florida there, and they ran a story about an Elmo talking book. It's one of these books that you see that are for really stupid kids that have, like, little buttons on the side so you can press sounds. So, like, you know, when Elmo's happy, you press a button of him smiling, and you hear him laughing. And I'll let this clip speak for itself here. It's pretty short.
A book meant to teach kids how to potty train is sending out a message of death. That's according to a Dallas mom. It may be a little tough to make out, but this Elmo book says, who wants to die when one of the buttons is pushed? The mother checked with other copies of the book, which do not say that offensive phrase. The company that makes the book says it has received several complaints.
Who wants to die? It's a potty time Elmo book, and I think it's funny that that's in there. You know, there's been some pretty famous incidents of people messing with toys. I remember when I was about 10 or 11 here in California, there was this doll, this little blonde doll that talked. I think her name was Talking Tina. And I don't know if I'm thinking that just because of that Twilight Zone episode. But I remember there was a news story because when you... Kim was her name. That's it. And when you pressed a button on her, she said, kill mommy. And this mom, of course, was upset that her doll that she bought said, kill mommy. And apparently the company responded saying that it really said, Kim loves mommy, not kill mommy. And there was some problem in the voice chip. But clearly, somebody hit the plant there, was having some fun. I remember another time when, somebody deliberately, from consumer sabotage, what happened was there was these talking Barbie dolls and talking G.I. Joe dolls, and people were buying, some mysterious militant group of toy haters was buying these and switching the voice boxes of the G.I. Joe and the Barbies so that, you know, G.I. Joe would talk about how hard math was, and the Barbie, you know, would say, surrender, Cobra. So it's kind of fun. So it's nice to see that tradition still alive and well. And boy, I think it's called Potty Time with Elmo, or Elmo's Potty Time. And I guess if you can find that book and it's got that you're going to die, you got probably a couple $100 in your pocket via eBay there. So happy hunting, folks. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. I have a couple episodes ready to go rather quickly. So probably on a Monday night and Wednesday night, we're going to have some fun interviews. We got a good Lou Rawls tribute coming up. And I've got some audio from this great episode of Crossfire from 1986 where Frank Zappa appears to talk about censorship of rock music. And I'm going to contrast that with an appearance that Jon Stewart made on Crossfire about 20 years later. So hope you have a good day. And I am going to leave you with a sound clip from a guy that will probably not be getting any Oscar recognition this year, but really in a sick way deserves it. Sid Haig is Captain Spaulding in the Rob Zombie film The Devil's Rejects. One of the best horror films of the year. It's a great genre movie, and because it's a horror film, and because it's just so sleazy and over the top, there's no way any critics lists or best of lists of the year are going to touch it. But it was one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite soundtracks, and Sid Haig's performance as a psychotic clown, among other murderers as well in this film, is just great. The DVD that you can get, there's a 2-disc director's cut. It's about $19, and it's just full of so many fun extras. There's a audio commentary with Rob Zombie. There's a separate audio commentary with the actors, a blooper reel, funny commercials, home movies that the characters take, a Buck Owens video, and there's a complete 2-hour documentary, a day-by-day diary of making the film on disc two. So this is the kind of stuff that DVDs was made for. Or were made for, as the case may be. I'm such a crappy writer, I don't know the difference. So better get out my thesaurus. But I'm going to play for you a really fun scene here. In this scene, Sid Haig's character, Captain Spaulding, just deliciously evil and sleazy guy, has to get a car. Because it has to ditch the car that he has. So he decides to carjack this woman and her son who are walking out of a store. We'll see you again soon, and may all your days be Retro Crush days.
If I'm late one more time, Mr. McDonald is going to can my ass.
Hello, Ryan.
Will you get in the car? Okay, come on, let's go get in.
Mom, a clown.
Yeah, clown. Uh-huh. Oh, hi.
Hi. I'm going to have to be taking your car today. to have some top secret clown business that supersedes any plans that you might have for this here vehicle.
What's that about clown business?
Do I stutter, bitch?
Jamie, get in the car. Lock the door.
Where the hell are you going?
Damn it. Don't you never turn your back on a fucking clown when he's talking to you.
Fucking hands off of me!
What's the matter, kid? Don't you like clowns? Why? Don't we make you laugh? Aren't we fucking funny?
You best come up with an answer, because I'm going to come back here and check on you and your mama. If you ain't got a reason why you hate clowns, I'm going to kill your whole fucking family.
All right, now get your fucking ass out the car. Come on. Yeah.
Shit. Woo.
Hey, make sure you join us next episode for our Lou Rawls tribute. Talk to y'all later.
You'll never find, as long as you live, someone who loves you tender.